of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
For this day is recorded in Matthew, the third chapter, starting at verse 13, and it's on page 784 of your pew Bibles if you'd like to pull them out. 784. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, I wonder what epiphanies you all have had this week. We started, you know, this epiphany season last week with the Magi, the wise men, seeking Jesus, and you see the stars are still here to guide us through the whole season of Epiphany. Epiphanies being revelations, awareness points, flash points, aha moments, where we start to realize something more of what God intends for us to get about his coming in the flesh and what it means for the living out of our lives. So we're going to keep these stars here until Transfiguration Sunday, which is great. And you know, we all have epiphany moments. Now today we're going to consider a huge epiphany in Jesus' life. It was the day of his baptism when it became clear to him and he was affirmed as who he was and what he was called to do, his baptism. For Jesus and for us, the question is, what difference does that make? Well, let's watch a little clip, if we can, Connor, of Delmar's baptism in the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? If we could dim the lights just a little bit. Just watch this little clip. Go ahead. Oh, that's okay. We'll do this instead. Just going to look at his baptism here. Oh, we lost it. Okay. Well, let's see.
It's not going full screen.
Oh, that's okay. Just play it anyway. That's
it's
all right.
It's not going to play now is the problem.
I won't because... There you go.
Delmar, room tight.
Well, that's it, boys. I'm getting things. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting, my Lord.
Now, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent, old Charlie.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that sin's been washed away, too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
Thanks, Colin. Cool. Well, so what difference does it make? This sacrament of baptism that most of us have been through. For Delmar, obviously, it makes a tremendous difference, as you can see, at least for a while, if you watch the rest of the movie. I just about drove the guys at the men's Bible study yesterday morning nuts because I kept asking this question over and over again. So, what difference does it make, this baptism thing? So somebody said, well, it means I'm a beloved child of God, just like Jesus. And I kept asking, and by the way, they said that, you know, did you know you can bet on Bible studies as well as football games? Because they're going to try and bet on how many times I mentioned things they said today. So then the next thing was, I said, well, what difference does that make? And it says, well, I'm a beloved child just like Jesus. I said, so what difference does that make? And he says, well, I don't have to worry about the stuff in the past. Like Delmar, my sins are forgiven, you know? So then I said, well, what difference does that make? And somebody else said, well, Other things in life no longer define me, like my job, my work, my family, my successes and failures. They no longer determine my value. I have value because I'm a beloved child of God. I said, so what difference does that make? And somebody said, well, it changes my outlook on life. And I said, oh yeah, like how? And they said, well, I have a purpose in my life. I don't have to look for meaning anymore because I have it. And I said, well, what difference does that make? He said, well, for instance, one guy in frustration said, I'm going to give some of my travel points to the Peru trip because I'd rather do that because they need that more than I need to take my wife on a trip. Actually, we could do both. I said, so, and what difference will that make? Now, they're ready to slap me, you know, but so I quit asking. But I was impressed, as I always am with the guys in that Bible study group on Saturday mornings, with their depth of understanding of who they are in Jesus Christ and how they help me understand myself in Jesus Christ as well. And you know, Lutherans place a high value on baptism, as do all Christians. It's our mark of initiation into the family of God. And families bring their children for baptism even if they don't darken the doorstep of the church at any other time. Why? And we bring adults too. And remember our baptism every second Sunday of the month here. It's obviously very important to this church. And you know, at Lord of Life, we do a session with parents and sponsors every time we do a baptism to teach them, to remind them of the meaning of this thing. And generally, I ask them this question at some point in that. What difference will it make in this child's life that you're having them baptized? What difference is it going to make? And that's a question we need to keep asking, all of us. Now, there was a dad who had his 5-year-old daughter with him in church, and they sat in the front row so they could watch a baptism happening, you know. And as the pastor was pouring water over the baby's head, the little girl, the 5-year-old, grabbed her daddy's coat and said, Daddy, why is the pastor brainwashing that baby? Well, that is kind of what this is, if we take it seriously, isn't it? If we intend to make a difference, it's a brainwashing baptism. But brainwashing into what? Well, I have 3 things in mind for you guys this morning. First, it's a brainwashing into believing these words that Jesus heard at the moment that he was baptized and came out of the water. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God was brainwashing Jesus with confidence and courage for the road ahead, right? And just after this, he kicks him into the wilderness for 40 days to do strategic planning for how he's going to fulfill his mission as God's son. And, you know, in this culture we live in, everybody's brainwashed all the time. You know, you can't watch a TV show without a third of it being commercials trying to brainwash you into believing something about your life. We are brainwashed to believe our value is determined by all sorts of stuff, by our grades, right, if you're in school, our good looks, our income, our connections, our material stuff, our accomplishments, right? And those who buy into the culture's values, which is almost everybody, right? Almost everybody's buying into this. That's what they buy as the basis for their life and what they believe about themselves and what makes them valuable human beings. What the culture says, that's what they buy into. And the ones who do that, they drive their kids crazy by trying to make them good enough at something so that they can support them in their old age, I guess. I don't know. But for Christians, what we most want to brainwash our kids to believe in their baptism is what Jesus heard from God. You are my beloved child, in you I am pleased. Where on earth else is any kid going to hear that? Or any adult? You're not going to hear it out there. You're not going to hear it in TV commercials. You're not going to hear it in the culture. This is the only place you're going to hear that, in the community of faith. And you know, we've been hearing, like, you know, a lot of people think, well, once a month is good enough to come to church for me. You know what? I go to church 3 times every Sunday, all 3 services, and some weeks that's hardly enough for me to get the message still. I'm kind of thick-headed. You are my beloved son. We want our children and our adults to be brainwashed to believe they are precious to God in Jesus Christ, regardless of how the world sees them. Amen? And that's unconditional. Amen? And permanent. Amen? Yeah. That no matter what God's beloved do, they are loved of God. And if we can more fully brainwash our children and our adults, for that matter, to believe that, then they'll be set up for an incredible life. Secondly, we want to brainwash into our kids and into all of us over and over again the purpose of our baptism, the so what difference does it make? Because at Jesus' baptism, remember, it set the direction for his life. It confirmed who he was and his mission. He was sent out again in the wilderness to be clear about it. Now, given that you are now a child of God, every one of you, branded with the sign of the cross in the water of baptism, your life is about doing what Jesus did, see. Our baptismal liturgy says this, and that's why we light these candles. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Huh? Not glorify yourself, glorify your Father in heaven. That's what our life is about. And we're called, the baptismal liturgy says, to work for justice and peace in all the earth. This isn't just a me and sweet Jesus thing, baptism, see. This is a world-changing thing that we are brought into as God's beloved. And we are called to use every resource God has blessed us with to share this good news with people that they are beloved of God just like we are. Last night, Emily and I visited with a guy named Robert who had been homeless. He was sharing a story with a group of people, and I hope he can come and share it with you guys sometime. Robert was a restaurant owner, an independent restaurant owner in Montgomery County, and one morning he woke up and he literally could not move his legs. His son, who lived with him, rushed him off to the hospital for emergency testing and all sorts of stuff. And by the end of the day, the doctor said to him, "You are done working as of today. You are done. If you do anything much more with your legs, you're going to have them cut off because your diabetes is way out of control." And so they said, "Get on disability, but you're not working anymore." So he started applying for disability, but if any of you have been involved in this with anybody, you know it can take up to 2 years to get on disability because they keep on rejecting you. I don't get it, but that's what happens. So during that time, he lost his business. Then he couldn't make his mortgage. He lost his house. He said the toughest thing was having to lose his dogs because he had nowhere to live anymore. And his son had to move out. He couldn't have anywhere for his son. He lost his truck. Just left like with nothing. And thankfully, his son's boss came to him just as he was getting ready to leave the house and go stay in a motel somewhere for a couple days, and or in a shelter, that's what it was. And this boss said, "Come and stay with me. I've got two couches in my living room. You guys can stay with me." So for 2 months, he slept on the boss's couch. Thank God for the boss. But one of those nights he couldn't sleep. He was crying out to God, he said. He just cried out to God and said, "God, you took care of my parents. They're with you now in heaven. You took care of my sister. She's with you. Why don't you just take care of me too? Why aren't you there for me, and why don't you just take care of me?" And he said within a week of that prayer, someone from the Homeless Coalition picked him up and brought him over there. And they started to get him back on his feet. Figuratively speaking. I don't know if you know this, but he shared this. He went to a loan shark agency. He was trying to get his truck back. He needed $400 to get his truck back. And so the place he went to get a loan, you know what the interest rate was? 200%. And furthermore, if he would, they said, "You're going to have to wait until you pay us back." So he owed them $1,200 for lending $400. And they kept his truck keys until he would have paid the whole thing off. In other words, it was going to take him another year to get his truck back. What kind of thing is this, huh? If you think that things are equal for rich and poor, think again. Well, he got into the homeless center, and they actually lent him the money to pay off the remaining amount of his debt so he could get his truck back. His disability all got in place, and he got back on track. He has an apartment now, and he's, you know, getting some stuff back in shape. And he cried as he told the story. He said, "I went to the homeless coalition. I expected to be insulted and attacked. Instead, I was respected, treated with dignity, and someone actually came and gave me a hug." And he says, from now on, with his limited ability to work, he's volunteering at the Homeless Coalition to help others just as he has been helped. He says that's his direction. Robert. Well, I tell you, that was one of my epiphanies for the week. And after that conversation all the way home, all I could think, and Em and I talked about it, was, you know, why do I ever worry about anything? About stuff. Nothing's really mine anyway. It's all a gift. I don't deserve it any more than Robert does. It's all been given to me, just like Robert has been given gifts to make a difference with others who don't have what I have. See? Remember that old hymn? I think this says it. We give thee but thine own. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. And all I need to do is look around and see where my resources, God's resources, they're not mine, they're God's, are most needed. And then get a kick out of giving them. Have hilarious giving experiences. See, there's no place for fear in any of this. But that epiphany is awaiting you as you open yourself up to that. Thirdly, we want baptism to brainwash us about our ultimate destiny. Yes, we are going to die someday, but it's going to be a happy ending, however our end comes, because it's all enfolded in this belovedness of God that we already belong to and goes beyond us forever. So we can relax about the fears about what's coming next, because that's all gift. And it's all good, right? In this life and in the next. And all three of these things have nothing to do with us and how good we are. It has to do with how good God is. Sending his Son to be among us, to show us how beloved we are, that he was willing to die on a cross for us, forgiving our sins and giving us new life. And showing us just how beloved of God people live their lives, like Jesus lived his. All the way from death to life even. Baptismal brainwashing. Well, I want to invite you, every time, as I told the kids, whenever you see the water, come in, put your hands in there, put it on your head. We all need to keep being brainwashed. Brainwashed, brainwashed. A reminder of our identity that no one can take away from us, our belovedness, our purpose as God's beloved, and our destiny, all enfolded in God's grace. Brainwash yourself time and again in the waters of baptism.